The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, be with us as we make our journey through this time. Be with us in those moments at which we are at our best, and in those moments in which we feel as though we have little left to give. Work through us even there to proclaim good news to your people. Amen. It's not altogether surprising that the field of study that became known as the quest for the historical Jesus began in the period following the Enlightenment, when an emphasis on tradition was set aside in favor of reason and evidence as the most important ways of understanding and knowing. In this new way of seeing the world, believing in Jesus because people had been told to believe in Jesus was no longer sufficient. In time, three primary criteria arose for how one could identify something in the Gospels as authentic. The first was the criterion of dissimilarity. That if something Jesus said in the Gospels was consistent neither with the dominant strands of Jewish theology during his lifetime, nor with early Christian thought at the time the Gospel was written, it was more likely to be authentic. The second criterion was the criterion of multiple attestation, that if a saying or an event was recorded in multiple Gospels, and especially echoed in other sources such as Paul's letters or independently recorded by the historian Josephus, it was more likely to be authentic. The third criterion was the criterion of embarrassment, that if something in the Gospels is contrary to the narrative that the early church would have wanted to portray about Jesus, or it made little sense, it was more likely to be authentic. Otherwise, why include it? Now, all of these criteria have their flaws, but I find one of them, the criteria of embarrassment, particularly helpful when engaging with this morning's gospel. Jesus' interaction with the Canaanite woman is so contrary to the way that we typically see Jesus interacting with people in the Gospels. And while theological cartwheels have been done to explain why this is and what Jesus was trying to accomplish by orchestrating this interaction, I am much more persuaded by the argument that this is something that just actually happened and that Jesus' authentic reaction is captured in the text. And I'll tell you why I'm led to believe this. If we take a look at what Jesus has been up to just before this encounter takes place. We see that Jesus has been teaching and healing nonstop over the chapters leading up to this point. He has started to gain attention, and crowds have begun to follow him wherever he goes. He's also started to catch wind of the fact that the Pharisees and the scribes aren't too happy with him and are beginning to plot against him. As he's making his way through the countryside, he passes through his hometown of Nazareth, and his former neighbors and friends mock and undermine him and take offense at everything that he says. And he's unable to heal or perform any deeds of power while he's there. Immediately after this happens, we learn that John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, one of the few people from his early life who have supported and believed in him, has been violently beheaded by a power-hungry King Herod, son of the other King Herod, who had tried to murder Jesus as an infant and forced his family into exile in Egypt for much of his early childhood. That's a lot. So it's not terribly surprising that immediately after Jesus learns this news, he needs a break. So he sets out in a boat onto the Sea of Galilee to try to get some alone time. But word gets out that he's there, and crowds stream to the shores of the Sea of Galilee seeking healing. So he comes back to shore and heals them of their many ailments. Then the disciples bring up the fact that the people are hungry, and Jesus tells them to get the people something to eat. But they balk at the impossibility of that task and reply that they've only found 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus says, and I can't help but imagine a deep sigh in his voice along with it, "Bring them to me." You know that story, that Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000, though in Matthew's gospel it says 5,000 men plus women and children, so this crowd could really easily have been 10,000 or more, not exactly the break that Jesus was seeking. So he withdraws again after this event has taken place, this time to a mountain to pray. And his disciples set out in a boat onto the sea, but a storm kicks up. And so he leaves the mountain and crosses on the sea to them. Peter doesn't believe it's him, and he says he'll need to get out of the boat to walk to him to prove it, but then doesn't believe enough to do what he's asked to do, and Jesus saves him from drowning. Then they get in the boat, and the wind dies, and only then do the disciples say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And I'm wondering if Jesus is thinking, "Really? Only now?" But the boat continues on, and as soon as it hits the shore in Gennesaret, the people recognize him and swarm to be healed. Then the Pharisees make their way out from Jerusalem and start criticizing and second-guessing him. And when Jesus responds, the disciples come to him asking whether he knows that he's just offended the Pharisees. He tries to teach them that it's not about following the rules, but about how you treat other people that counts the most, and they don't understand what he's saying. Jesus sets out again, and before he can get very far, a woman comes out shouting at him, begging for mercy and healing for her daughter. All of what has just happened to Jesus is why I think this story is true. He's exhausted. He's barely had a chance to rest without being swarmed by people needing healing. Though he's fed many others, we have no indication of whether he's eaten. As much as we tend to see divine Jesus in his interactions in the Gospels, here in this place, I think we get a reminder of his true humanity, a glimpse of exhausted, cranky, hangry Jesus reacting to one more thing needed from him when he's had no time to rest. or recharge. And I'll tell you what, as a working parent of young children in the midst of a pandemic, this is the Jesus that I need. The Jesus who has been working and caring and feeding others at every chance, and rest, the glimpses he's been able to get have been interrupted. It's the Jesus who is grieving, who is hearing from opponents, from family and friends, from his closest companions, that all of the choices he's making are wrong, are not enough. And on the other side of all of this, I think one more request might have pushed him over the edge just a little. He acts at first like he doesn't hear her. And then he gives an easy official response to her request. And as one scholar wrote, he's caught with his compassion down. This is the Jesus that I need for those times when I'm caught with my compassion down, when I've had enough, when the world and the needs and the noise are all too much, and the quiet, the rest, and the stillness are nowhere to be found. This is Jesus for the age of COVID. We know from other places in the gospel that Jesus doesn't actually believe that his mission is only to the Jews. It's in Matthew's gospel that wise men come from the east to celebrate his birth. It's in this gospel that Jesus heals a Gentile centurion and praises his faith. It is in this gospel that Jesus sends his followers out to make disciples of all nations. He's also just taught his disciples about the importance of acting with compassion over following procedure. So we know that he's not responding to her even according to his own highest ideals. Now, commentators have at times assigned racist or misogynist motives to Jesus' actions and said he learned better through this encounter. But that doesn't track for me based on other stories from Jesus' life. I find myself wondering if even for a moment, Jesus just felt like he had nothing left to give. And there's something so real, so necessary in that idea, even if just for a moment. God could meet us even there. But the woman, even after how he's reacted, even getting a grumpy, hangry response from Jesus, believes in him enough to know that he can still do it, that he can heal her daughter. She responds to him with the assertive humor and grace, and moved by her great faith, he makes it true. The Canaanite woman caught Jesus in all his fragile humanness that day, and yet her faith in him brought him back to the fullness of who he could be. In the very next encounter, another feeding of a great multitude, Jesus doesn't flee from the crowds. He sits on the mountain, ready and waiting to care for them. This story reminds us that we are not in this life of faith alone, even in the hardest of times. This story reminds us of the way that we can support each other, encourage each other to live the truths we believe most deeply, even in those times when we have nothing left to give. It's a story that also reminds us, following the example of the Canaanite woman, to have a little grace and a sense of humor when we encounter the grumpy, hangry other in our lives. It's a story that shows us that opportunities to love and have compassion for one another won't always come at those times when we're well rested and ready. And we may feel grouchy about it, but ultimately we have what we need to do the work to which we are called. It's a gospel to the people in COVID. Even as we are set upon from every side, as the demands are great, the rest and renewal so scarce, even here, our ministry to the world in need of healing and good news continues. Even if we don't get it right the first time, even if we default to easier answers, we can call forth the best in one another, can lift one another up to who we could be, and give one another the strength to carry on. It was soon after his encounter with the Canaanite woman that Jesus began to foretell his death and resurrection to his disciples. Things were going to get a lot harder before they got better. And this may be true for us too. But the gift of this morning's gospel is the truth that we don't have to be in our very best place for God to work through us, to transform the world a little bit at a time, to be transformed in the process. Amen.